And we are back here on WWL. I am Jeff Nowak. I am filling in for Steve Geller. We're going to talk Saints. We're going to talk all that good stuff we heard from Derek Carr and Dennis Allen today. We're getting ready for Saints-Eagles on Sunday. We're talking about a team that people seem excited about right now, and not just the Saints. I mean, the incredible thing about how the Saints have started, and I mean not just Saints fans, the incredible thing about how the Saints have started is they have forced basically everyone to turn around and be like, oh, wait, I guess I was wrong. Or at least like consider the fact that they might be wrong. I want to do kind of a power rankings breakdown or beatdown in this show at some point to go through where the Saints were 2 weeks ago compared to where they are right now. And it's kind of hilarious to watch everyone kind of backtrack without really backtracking. They're kind of like looking at it like, hey, I mean, I'm not willing to say I was wrong yet, but man, can you believe what's happened? And I'm like, yeah, you're talking about this team like a broken down station wagon turned into Ferrari. And it's really not that. It's just that you never bothered to look at the car in the first place to tell me what it was. You were just like, yeah, they agreed with me. We're good. We're good. You have Colin Cowherd out there saying, DA is going to be the first coach fired in the NFL. And, you know, now he's saying, hey, they might be the best team ever. The best one is Kurt Benkert. If you know who Kurt Benkert is, why would you? I mean, there's really no reason to. He was a backup quarterback for a while. He does Madden stuff now, but he likes to have hot takes. And his hot take of the offseason was basically saying, I don't think the Saints are going to win more than two games. Like, and his reasoning was, you got to score to win. And man, you want people to take you seriously as an analyst, and you say the reason the Saints can't win is because they can't score points, and they go out and they drop 40 in their first two games. Man, it's funny. I appreciate it. It's such a great example of the idea that just not a lot of people don't know what they're talking about. But this is probably the fatal flaw of sports analysis in the year of our Lord 2024, where everyone has a platform, is no one's willing to admit that they just don't know. And everyone has to be like, I know what's going to happen, even though I have 0% information about this team. I have not watched a second of their offseason program. I know that this team's going to be bad. I am not willing to even suggest that my take might be, just ill-informed.
There is I'm a big fan of the Rich Eisen show.
Sure.
They have a segment that Chris Brockman, I think co-host Talking Head, he has a segment they do on Mondays called Overreaction. The whole premise is to kind of dole out these hot takes in a setting where the expectations for them are low. These settings are low. They're not to be taken as gospel. And he said a couple weeks before the season started, his hot take, his overreaction, one of his, was that DA would be gone and Rattler would be the starting QB by, like, I think the date he gave out was like Halloween or something like that.
Yeah.
He had an episode this past week, I think on Monday, and he came out the gate. He apologized. Yeah. You could not even imagine the smile on my face. I'll pass it along to you, Jeff, so you can listen to it later. And his new one for the week, he opened his Overreaction Monday with, the Saints are the best team in the NFL right now. And like, you can't, and Rich Eisen was joining him, and he was like, I don't want to argue with, he argued that the stipulation right now is carrying a lot of weight, but he agreed with it, that the Saints are the best team in the NFL right now.
I mean, when you watch what they've done, there's no question. I mean, you look at some of the numbers from around the league, and you're looking at an NFL where scoring is down. It's not like, this isn't like 2014 where you have offense after offense. This is a running league now. Like, this isn't even, I wouldn't even call it a passing league anymore. This is a league where, you know, if you can run the ball and you can execute at the edges of the field, you have a chance. And you can run the play action. And that's what makes it, like, I watch the Saints play. And then I go and I watch basically any other team. And I'm like, oh, wait, they're not scoring on every possession. What is this? You know, like, oh, they have to punt? What's that like? I mean, I watch Matt Hayball over there on the sidelines, and I'm just like, I feel bad for the kid. He's bored. You know, he's like, he starts warming up, and he's like, I guess, I got to stay loose, right? I got to stay limber. I can't just hold for the rest of my life. And that's what makes it remarkable. It's like, okay, how much of this is an overreaction, and how much of this is actually legitimate? And, you know, I was texting a friend of mine. He's a Patriots fan. I grew up a Giants fan, so we have this adversarial relationship when it comes to football. And I texted him before the season, and I said, hey, you know, because he was making fun of the Saints. And I was like, guy, I get why everyone's making fun of the Saints. I really do. But you look at this team, and I still haven't gotten a good explanation as to why they're a bottom five football team other than everyone thinks that. And I see a team with a veteran quarterback. I see a team with a good defense. Not a maybe they're good defense, a demonstrated good defense that added key players. I see a team with playmakers. I see a team with a good coaching staff. And I think that's where kind of the bridge too far was for a lot of people, was admitting that the coaching staff is not the issue for this team. And there was a lot of environmental factors. And you look at it and say, that was a 9-8 football team that we watched last year. So why should I assume that they're going to be bad this year? This is a team that has not won fewer than 7 games in 2 decades. And somehow, this team was universally looked at as a bottom 10 team that was going to pick in the top 5 picks of the draft. No, that's ridiculous. And he texted me back the other day and was like, hey, I guess you were right. And I was like, hey, you know what? You know, like, I don't know if I was just right, but I think they might be a Super Bowl contender right now. And you're early, but at the same time, I grew up watching the Giants. I watched them win 2 Super Bowls, and at no point watching the Giants, at any time, in any 2-game stretch, did I think, man, this is the best team in the NFL. Never. I never thought that to myself in however long it was growing up watching the Giants. And again, they won 2 Super Bowls during that time. So, like, it's, you can't just explain away. One of my favorite tweets that I saw was like, so after the Panthers game, everyone kind of looked and said, hey, this is how teams are supposed to look when they play the Panthers. The Panthers are the worst team in the NFL, right? Like, if you don't look this way against the Panthers, that's a red flag. And then after last week, I'm like, guys, this is just how you're supposed to look when you play the Cowboys. I mean, if you don't look this way against the Cowboys, that's a red flag, right? The other good line that I saw was that the star, the Cowboys logo, isn't actually a logo. It's a rating. It's actually a 1-star rating. Because man, well, we could talk more about this, but that atmosphere was one of the most enjoyable. It was close to what Lambeau would have been last year if they had just won that game. For 3 quarters, the fans at Lambeau were just. You know, they were just staring ahead. They were like, what is going on? I thought this team might be good, and instead we've been shut out through 3 quarters. They were just dumbstruck. They didn't even know what to say. They had Saints fans yelling at them, and they had nothing to say back to them. Now, that obviously turned around, and the fans had a good time in the end. But, man, those Cowboys fans, they spent a lot of money to get into that building for the home opener, and everyone's talking about how they've won 16 games in a row at home. And now the only thing anyone's talking about is how actually – when you really look at it, they've lost their last 2 games in embarrassing fashion in their own stadium to offenses like the Saints and like the Packers that every good team in the NFL seems to run right now. How can you have any confidence whatsoever in that group? I don't know, but tell me if I'm overreacting. Hit us up in the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. I'm Jeff Nowak. I'm going to be here till 8 p.m. We're going to go live on YouTube at some point. I'm going to bring in that audience. We're going to answer some questions from that feed. Let's see if I can keep my technological thumb inclined on the button and not mess that up. I don't have a ton of faith in myself, but we're going to figure it out. But either way, again, Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. I'm curious, what are your record predictions now? Tell me, you know, we never got to the point this offseason that we usually get to where everyone's convinced the Saints are going to win 14 games. So it's fitting that in week 3, I feel like we're going to get some people who think the Saints are going to win 14 games. So hit me up. Let me know. Otherwise, I'm Jeff Nowak, Cullen Steele behind the glass, taking you up until 8 p.m. Keep it locked on WWL. And we are back here on WWL. Jeff Nowak bringing you up till 8 p.m. You can tune in on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app and on YouTube, because I did just hit the go live button, which, as far as I know, the sound is good. I can't listen to it, so it's all a guess, but we'll find out. Either way, you know, our YouTube channel, Cullen, this is a big moment. We just ticked past 11,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Whoop-de-doo.
This, when I adopted this baby a few years ago, we had like 400. So it's nice. People really
putting
like
that work.
People really like Bobby's post game rant.
I will tell you, even though I work here, I use our YouTube feed for Bobby's rant, and I use it for Inside Black and Gold.
It's funny, you know. I just started putting that up there, and you know, some videos are really popular. Some are, you know, that one. I feel like people just come back to it every week, especially because they know when the Saints do something like beat the Cowboys the way they did on Sunday, he's gonna have a come apart. And man, I enjoyed that one for sure. He was, you know, he was all stuttering and
I want to match, you know, the win's over. I want to match that excitement. I want someone else to match that excitement.
No question. Yeah, we are live on YouTube. I'm filling in for Steve tonight. This is typically our Inside Black and Gold podcast recording night, so we're gonna double up. It's not gonna make complete sense to either end, but we'll do it for you. But first things first, I do want to get to the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. That's 504-260-1870. We're going to bring in Big Cheesy out in Metairie. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys? How y'all doing today?
Doing good. Talking about Saints in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I have a question. I want to see if we're all on the same page.
All right.
I want to know, which teams does the New Orleans Saints in 2 weeks, just 2 weeks in this offense, which team do they resemble in the NFL in the past? Because I have the team. I just want to see if you guys are on the same page.
So you're talking about, like, past teams as in, like, okay, historic teams or other teams in the NFL now?
Yeah, no, other teams in the NFL, yeah.
Okay. I would say they look like the Dolphins, personally. I've said that for a while now. I think the Tyreek Hill, Rashid Shaheed duo reminds me a lot of the Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed duo reminds me a lot of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The schemes they're running, you're talking about a lot of motion. You know, the 49ers is the one everyone goes to, but I think just the playmakers the Saints have, they remind me a little more of the Dolphins. That's who I would go with, and that's why when you look at, like, I watched the Dolphins hang 70 points on the Broncos last year. Like, they can score in a hurry, kind of like the Saints have this year. That's who I would go with personally.
I got one for you. You ready?
Yeah, do it.
All right, here we go. Matt Schaub, Aaron Foster,
Texans,
and Andre Johnson.
Okay.
That's what this New Orleans Saints team, I think the coach was Gary Kubiak, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was Gary at that point.
With the zone running, I'm talking about they look identical from what I can remember with the play action and the zone running from to the outside. They look identical.
Give me a year. Give me a year. What year are we talking about? I want to kind of look up some of these numbers.
I didn't do my research on the years.
Big Cheesy.
I remember the coach and I remember the players.
I'm gonna look up Arian Foster and we're gonna go from there and we'll see what was his best year. Because I do remember, you know, I can't remember the kid's name. But it was like, I was in college. It was probably like 2009, 2010. And this kid was like, hey, man, the player you need to watch out for that no one's talking about right now, Arian Foster. And I was like, sure, the guy who was named after a bird or something. Like, and then when you know, you look at it, it was like, holy crap, he's right. But yeah, so I look at 2010. We're talking Arian Foster, averaged 4.9 yards a carry, 1,616 yards. The Texans didn't have a great year. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that their upside is a little higher, but I guess 2011 would be the year. They went to the playoffs. They beat the Bengals. But no, I think that's a fair comparison. I think anytime you look at, okay, we got Clint Kubiak, he's running essentially the scheme that his dad and Mike Shanahan popularized. It would make sense. Yeah, going back to the Texans. Andre Johnson, I don't know if the Saints have a player on the current roster that can be compared to Andre Johnson. That's the only part of it that doesn't necessarily work for me. What are you still there, Big Cheesy?
Yeah, I'm still here. We don't have.
But other than that, I could see it. Go ahead.
I want to know, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I want to know, since we didn't give Alvin the money this offseason, right? Alvin is going to be the number one, probably top free agent coming up. Do we pay him? Do we pay him the money next year? Ugh. Or do we just flat out just let him go on free agent?
It's tough, right? It's tough. I kind of feel like if you're going to pay him, you're going to do it in season. I don't want to get to the offseason if I'm going to do it. And the question is, okay, is Alvin willing to play ball on that, knowing now? And this is where it's like, okay, would it have made sense to get this done ahead of time, right? Would you have been better off trying to figure it out versus, hey, we're going to see what happens? Because that's my read on it was always like, hey, if I'm Alvin, I'm not upset that you're not going to pay me. I mean, obviously, I would have preferred to get it done in a more congenial way, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to make this way more expensive than you thought it would be. And for right now, it sure looks like that's going to be the case. And I thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Big Cheesy. We do want to get to some more audio here. But no, and I mean, we'll see how the rest of the season goes for Alvin. If there was the obvious question going into the season was, okay, is this about Alvin or is this about the offense, right? Were these last 2 years where you had, you know, career lows in yards per carry and you just the production, the efficiency wasn't there. Is that about a declining running back or is that about an offense and a system that is antiquated, that cannot keep up with modern NFL defenses that are a lot faster, that fly around the field a lot more than they used to, that you can scheme around with simpler concepts, but you need the players and you need the wherewithal to do it. Is that going to fix it for him? And so to this point, I think it has. And, to change gears a little bit, you know, one thing that we're talking about, and I saw someone on the text line say Alvin isn't a free agent next year. No, he's not. But the final year of his deal is basically, it's not guaranteed past a certain point, right? So it would be a $28 million cap hit if you kept him. You could obviously extend it past that, but I mean, it's tough. And we'll have to see. We'll see how Alvin continues to shape up the rest of the way. But I do want to hear a clip from DA because one of the things that's going to happen this year, in my opinion, is you're going to, you know, it's what the struggle of looking this good this early is you've got such a long road left to travel. Teams are going to get film on you. They're going to get more of a book on Clint Kubiak and what he likes to do. And how do you kind of self-scout and adjust to that as the season goes on from a player perspective, from a play call perspective, from a scheme perspective. And then how do you not get like too high on your own supply, right? How do you not look at what we've done and say, I proved you all wrong? This is what DA said about that when he was asked today.
Yeah, look, I think that's the league that we're in. You know, you have to manage adversity and you have to manage prosperity. You know, it's a constant game of management. You know, when things are going bad, you know, there's a tendency to think, you know, the sky is falling and everything's awful. And when things are going well, there's a tendency to kind of think that you can do no wrong. And you have to fight both of those. So the key is you have to have a belief, a formula, a system of the way that we operate. And the results, we don't worry about the results. We got to worry about the process. We got to worry about the preparation. We got to worry about, you know, our focus on the task at hand. And then when you do those things and you do those things well, the results kind of take care of themselves. And so it's much more difficult, you know, with, you know, all you guys writing 4 or 5 articles a day, you know, to ignore the noise. But that's really what you have to do either way.
Did you believe in, I don't know, don't eat the cheese and all that, you know, not get too caught up in
that? Well, I would say this. I would say nobody should be eating any cheese in week 2 of the season going into week 3. You know, like, it's early. You know, we got... And when you watch the tape, you look at it and you'd say, yeah, we did good things. Okay, but there's still a lot of things that we have to clean up and that we have to be, you know, better at. And so that's really where you have to try to focus. I thought our guys came out today. I thought they had a focus. I thought they had an intensity. I thought they prepared well. They were into the plan in all 3 phases. So that's the formula for success. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win every game, but if you don't do those things, it makes it very difficult to have success.
So there you have it. DA, not a cheese guy. He's more of a wine guy. I'll pair it with crackers. Not going for the cheese. But no, I agree with that. You know, it's tough. And if you can't stick to your system and stick to your kind of core beliefs, and you say, hey, we were right, you were wrong, haha, it's going to get old real fast. And you got a long way to go. That's why we're talking about with Mike at the end of the last hour. It's difficult because you look at it and say, okay, we want to be peaking at the end of the season. Teams want to be playing their best football in week 18. And whatever you want to say about last year's coaching staff, that was the case. This team was playing its best football in week 18. Can you start this hot and maintain that throughout the course of the year to the point that you're not the Eagles last year, right? Like, look at how the Eagles started that season versus how they finished that season. That's what you have to avoid. And, you know, one thing that Derek said that I appreciated, and we don't have to play the clip, I'll read the quote. That I thought was good. He was asked kind of the same question. He said, I think we've been kicked around a little bit too much to where we just don't even care what people think. And you know what? Good. That's how I want. You know, I think there has been enough negativity around this team that you can maintain that edge even when people are being nice to you. Right. Even when, you know, Colin Cowherd isn't saying your coach is going to get fired, be fired by week five. And when you're not ending up at number 28 in power rankings. And like, I think that there's enough on that bulletin board already that you could still be reading it all the way through the season. What do you think, Colin?
100%. You hear that quote and I'm in here just saying, hell yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's, but I also understand the whole, like, getting on high on your own supply type of deal. We beat the Cowboys, and I'm reading Twitter people going, like, we're going to beat the Eagles by 50. This is before Monday Night Football. And it's like, it's good that we're way more optimistic than we were a couple weeks ago, even though we were optimistic, but nobody else around, you know, outside of New Orleans really was. And I like that the expectations are still being set that, like, hey, we're still being underrated.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They were 2-0 last year. We talk about that team last year as if, like, oh, it was all terrible all the time. Now, it was an ugly 2-0. It certainly wasn't pretty. You beat the Titans 17-16, and then you go to Carolina, and you're like, eh, okay, you know, this team's probably pretty bad, this Carolina team, but we won it. Then you go out to Green Bay, and, like, I was feeling great through two games in the first three quarters in Green Bay. You were looking at, wow, we might shut out the Packers and be 3-0. And then one hit, and all of a sudden, now the biggest difference, and we'll talk more about this, that offensive line is blocking its butt off. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, that it's like we went into this season talking about the offensive line is the biggest issue. The offensive line is what I'm scared. Derek Carr is going to get eaten alive. This is a problem. And not only has it been fine, has it not been an issue, it's been a strength. And, you know, you go back and you watch the film from that game, and you got to give Clint Kubiak a lot of credit. And Clint Kubiak deserves a lot of credit, almost too much credit, to the point that, yeah, this might be a one-and-done OC situation in New Orleans. He's going to be getting calls for coaching jobs. But the scheme that they threw out there, and you got to give John Benton credit, you got to give Rick Dennison credit, to shut down Micah Parsons. Like, you watch all the things they did to him, and it wasn't just, hey, we're going to send three blockers at him every play. There were plays multiple times in that game. You saw them show, like, he was going to get double-teamed, triple-teamed, and then you had both of those extra guys, the fullback, the tight end, motion across and block somebody else, and then leave him one-on-one with Trevor Penning, and it was like he was so caught off guard by that he just had nothing. That the move he was planning to use doesn't work against the one-on-one set, and he was just like, wow, look, Trevor Penning looks like an all-pro left or right tackle. And, man, that's just cool to see. It's cool to see a modern team, a modern-looking offense. And it's simple. That's the best part about it, is, like, you're looking at these concepts. You're not trying to trick anybody. You're just trying to punch them in the face, and they have no answer. But, no, I appreciate the calls. We got a lot of texts. We got a lot of YouTube comments that I want to get into. We will be having kind of more of a mailbag segment to close out. We'll also have Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox. So we're going to talk to him in the 7 o'clock hour. But this is WWL. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Colin Steele. We will be right back. Keep it locked on WWL. And we are back on Inside Black and Gold. Colin, Did you know that? I'm sorry, I said Inside Black and Gold. I meant sports talk.
Okay, see, we're both
sorry.
Right now.
This is all over the place. This is WWL FM.com and the Odyssey. We're also live on YouTube. This is too many hats for me. Too many hats. But Cullen, are you a Kendrick Lamar fan? You a Kendrick Lamar fan?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you talking about him coming to the Super Bowl here?
No, well, that is part of it. That is a subplot of what we can talk about.
Oh, are you talking about the DA quote?
Yeah. We got the DA quote. He was asked today. So to me, it's like, I think what happened is he heard this song so many times during training camp that it's just now become part of his DNA.
I thought I read a quote earlier, might have been an extended quote from someone in Saints Media, that like his son was with him in training camp and he was playing a lot of Kendrick Lamar's music.
I got that bite in there.
Okay, there you go.
I think we could actually play that bite if you feel like it.
You listen to a lot of Kendrick Lamar?
No, I wouldn't say that's on my playlist, but my son was with me out at training camp, and so we heard that song plenty of times. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to pop out and show him.
Yeah. I'm sorry, D.A., I took the words right out of your mouth. I didn't even know we had that quote ready.
Yeah, no, I had it.
You had to.
And it was just, it was so funny, and I just find it funny. I find this take funny that, like, somehow D.A. is different now, and it's like, it's really not that. It's just, I think D.A. has the exact personality you need for a team when things are going well, and it's really easy to gravitate toward kind of, you know, he's a little awkward, but he's endearing when you give him a chance, and when things are going poorly, it's just, you know, I think you need a very specific personality to win people over when things aren't perfect. And again, we're not talking about 3-15, 3-14, that adds up to 17. We're talking about 9-8, right? We're talking about kind of in the middle of the pack. And why doesn't it seem like the end of the world when a Sean Payton does it? But it does seem like the end of the world when a Dennis Allen does it, to the point that everyone's given up. And I just think it's funny because, like, even at Clint Kubiak, like, I mean, so far from my perspective in terms of his talking to the media, it's kind of got the personality of Chalk. Like, it's not, and that's, I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, like, that's what he gives people. He is very, 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 very much all about football. And that's what you want, right?
Exactly what you want.
I don't need my offensive coordinator to be out there like throwing parties and having you know, everyone's running around having a great time. Oh, I want him to be all business. And I want him to, if you're gonna have fun, have it behind the scenes, right? But I do think it's funny, and like when things are going well, all business works. When things are going well, you're like, wow, what a guy. That's what we need. When things are going poorly, you're like, why aren't you more fun? Why aren't you have better quotes? And why don't you have better responses to stuff? Why aren't you more petty about the Falcons? And I just think it's funny. But let's see. We got a text here from 7787. He says, you can't blame Saints fans or any other media outlet for not being optimistic about the Saints this year, because the Saints hasn't done jack the last 3 years. And here's the thing that's not true. That's really genuinely not true. Because if you're saying that, then you're saying that Lions fans should have been miserable going into last season. And that was the comparison I made at the end of last year when everyone was talking about, this is awful, you should fire the coach, whatever. It's like, should the Lions have fired the coach after year two of Dan Campbell? Because Dan Campbell went, what, 3-14 in year one? Traded the fan favorite quarterback who then went and won a Super Bowl? Right? Went back the next year and started 1-6? 1-6. Can you imagine the noise around Dennis Allen if he had started 1-6 in year two? No, he started 2-0. And then things got weird. He started 2-0. Then the Lions got hot, won, I don't know, sixth or final eight games, something like that. Ended up 9-8, missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Everyone was like, wow, we're on the right track. The Saints last year have a rough go in the middle of the season, win four of their final five games, finish 9-8 in year two of a new head coach. And it's the sky is falling, tear everything down. So, I don't know. I think we could have been a little nicer. But at the same time, hey, maybe that helped. Maybe that really locked some people in, because like Dennis, like Derek Carr said, everyone's been, you know, so mean to me. I kind of don't, you know, I don't even care what they think anymore. I'm just going to do me. But man, I just find it really, really amusing how quickly things have turned around. I know I've said this already on this show, and we don't have to repeat the talking point, but it's just a thing, right? It's just remarkable how short-sighted you can be in that moment, but then how excited you can be 2 games later.
I'm liking it. I'm liking where we're at, man.
I mean, too.
You got, you know, it's take it a week by week league. I will say, as much as I like hearing on Twitter on, you know, late Monday night that we're going to kill the Eagles by 50, week by week league, we'll have to see how it goes. I do want to talk about, we have a lot of text, I'm assuming the YouTube chat, that's all you, but is blowing up. I want to get into some of these predictions. We want to save that towards, you know, the beginning of next hour. But I want to hear what everybody has to say. You can text us 504-260-1870 or join the YouTube chat and send Jeff a strongly worded message that says, "Hi, I think we're going to go 3-14," or "Hi, I think we're going to go 13-4. We want to hear from you.
Could do that. We could do that. But all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Colin Steeler, taking you up till 8 p.m. on WWL. Keep it locked on the Big 870. And we're back here on Sports Talk. Sorry, I just had to listen to the music there for a second. I'm Jeff Nowak, Colin Steele, taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com, the Odyssey app, and on YouTube. Colin, you got some texts for me?
I do. Some people are chiming in about the question you posed earlier about, you know, based on where we're at, 2-0, so, you know, anything, you know, 2-15, you should probably not listen to us because you've learned nothing, obviously, if that's your prediction for the season, how it's going to go.
You don't think they're going to lose their final 15 games?
We play the Panthers at least once. We're going at least 3-14.
That's a good point.
At the very least. And we play the Giants as well, but the Panthers, come on. Like, free space on bingo is if there ever was one.
I am looking forward to talking to Greg Allman in the final hour because it's like, it feels like whichever NFC South team loses to the Panthers is who's going to lose the division.
Do you think there will be one?
I have to imagine someone's going to lose.
In the South, of course. But on the Open Heart Talk and Text Line, we had a couple people chime in. 10 wins this year. That seems kind of doable.
I hope so. You start 2-0. I mean, they should have won 10 games last year. That's the floor for me.
I think 10 wins this year is definitely the floor based on what the next person says, saying, "Jeff, not being a homer, I really think the Saints will win these next three games. Philly and Atlanta were subpar Monday night, and with Pacheco being out, I think we can beat the Chiefs. The only thing I'm concerned about, though, is playing the refs Monday night in Arrow."
TJ Houshmandzadeh agrees with you. I don't know if anyone knows who TJ Houshmandzadeh is, but he was very critical of the refs because he's a Bengals guy. But no, I mean, here's the thing. Like, as great as things seem right now, you really, really want to win this Eagles game. Like, this Eagles game is important because then you're going to go to Atlanta. That's not going to be an easy game. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium out there, you know, obviously it's a divisional game. That's not a bad Eagles team. I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins. I haven't been. That's a whole other issue. Dude can't move to save his life. But like, if you can win one of these two games, get out of there at 3-1, you feel really good. If you're 4-0, you feel even better. But that stretch after the Falcons, you're talking about Monday night in Kansas City. Then on a short week, you face the Bucks, and then on another short week, you face the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. And so, like, those are, from a schedule loss perspective, that's tough. So if you really need to take advantage of this, and you're playing with house money a little bit, because I don't think a lot of people expected you to go beat the Cowboys. But, man, we'll see how it goes. But, all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. This is WWL. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. Keep it locked on the Big 870. And we are back on Inside Black and Gold. Cullen, did you know that? I'm sorry, I said Inside Black and Gold. I meant Sports Talk.
Okay, see, we're both.
I'm
both
sorry.
Right now.
This is all over the place. This is WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey. We're also live on YouTube. This is too many hats for me. Too many hats. But, Colin, are you a Kendrick Lamar fan? Are you a Kendrick Lamar fan?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you talking about him coming to the Super Bowl here?
No, well, that is part of it. That is a subplot of what we can talk about.
Oh, are you talking about the DA quote?
Yeah. We got the DA quote. He was asked today. So to me, it's like, I think what happened is he heard this song so many times during training camp that it's just now become part of his DNA.
I thought I read a quote earlier, might have been an extended quote from someone in Saints Media, that like his son was with him in training camp and he was playing a lot of Kendrick Lamar's music.
I got that bite in there.
Okay, there you go.
I think we could actually play that bite if you feel like it.
You listen to a lot of Kendrick Lamar?
No, I wouldn't say that's on my playlist, but my son was with me out at training camp, and so we heard that song plenty of times. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to pop out and show them.
Yeah. I'm sorry, D.A., I took the words right out of your mouth. I didn't even know we had that quote ready.
Yeah, no, I had it. And it was just, it was so funny. And I just find it funny. I find this take funny that like somehow DA is different now. And it's like, it's really not that. It's just, I think DA has the exact personality you need for a team when things are going well. And it's really easy to gravitate toward, kind of, you know, he's a little awkward, but he's endearing when you give him a chance. And when things are going poorly, it's just, you know, I think you need a very specific personality to win people over when things aren't perfect. And again, we're not talking about 3-15, 3-14, that adds up to 17. We're talking about 9-8, right? We're talking about kind of in the middle of the pack. And why doesn't it seem like the end of the world when a Sean Payton does it? But it does seem like the end of the world when a Dennis Allen does it, to the point that everyone's given up. And I just think it's funny because, like, even a Clint Kubiak, like, I mean, so far from my perspective in terms of his talking to the media, it's kind of got the personality of chalk. Like, it's not, and that's, I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, like, that's what he gives people. He is very, 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 very much all about football. And that's what you want, right?
Exactly what you want.
I don't need my offensive coordinator to be out there like throwing parties and having you know, everyone's running around having a great time. Oh, I want him to be all business. And I want him to, if you're gonna have fun, have it behind the scenes, right? But I do think it's funny, and like when things are going well, all business works. When things are going well, you're like, wow, what a guy. That's what we need. When things are going poorly, you're like, why aren't you more fun? Why aren't you have better quotes? Why don't you have better responses to stuff? Why aren't you more petty about the Falcons? And I just think it's funny. But let's see, we got a text here from 7787. He says, you can't blame Saints fans or any other media outlet for not being optimistic about the Saints this year, because the Saints hasn't done jack the last 3 years. And here's the thing, that's not true. That's really genuinely not true. Because if you're saying that, then you're saying that Lions fans should have been miserable going into last season. And that was the comparison I made at the end of last year when everyone was talking about, this is awful, you should fire the coach, whatever. It's like, should the Lions have fired the coach after year two of Dan Campbell? Because Dan Campbell went, what, 3-14 in year one? Traded the fan favorite quarterback who then went and won a Super Bowl, right? Went back the next year and started 1-6? 1-6. Can you imagine the noise around Dennis Allen if he had started 1-6 in year two? No, he started 2-0. And then things got weird. He started 2-0. Then the Lions got hot, won, I don't know, 6th or final 8 games, something like that. Ended up 9-8, missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Everyone was like, wow, we're on the right track. The Saints last year have a rough go in the middle of the season, win 4 of their final 5 games, finish 9-8 in year two of a new head coach. And it's the sky is falling, tear everything down. So, I don't know. I think we could have been a little nicer. But at the same time, hey, maybe that helps. Maybe that really locks some people in, because like Derek Carr said, everyone's been, you know, so mean to me. I kind of don't, you know, I don't even care what they think anymore. I'm just going to do me. But man, I just find it really, really amusing how quickly things have turned around. I know I've said this already on this show, and we don't have to repeat the talking point, but it's just a thing, right? It's just remarkable how short-sighted you can be in that moment, but then how excited you can be 2 games later.
I'm liking it. I'm liking where we're at, man.
I mean, you know, it's
you take it a week-by-week league. I will say, as much as I like hearing on Twitter on, you know, late Monday night that we're going to kill the Eagles by 50, week-by-week league, we'll have to see how it goes. I do want to talk about, we have a lot of text, and I'm assuming the YouTube chat, that's all you, but is blowing up. I want to get into some of these predictions. We want to save that towards, you know, the beginning of next hour. But I want to hear what everybody has to say. You can text us 504-260-1870 or join the YouTube chat and send Jeff a strongly worded message that says, hi, I think we're going to go 3-14, or hi, I think we're going to go 13-4. We want to hear from you.
Could do that. We could do that. But all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Colin Steeler, taking you up till 8 p.m. on WWL. Keep it locked on the Big 870. And we're back here on Sports Talk. Sorry, I just had to listen to the music there for a second. I'm Jeff Nowak, Colin Steeler, taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com, the Odyssey app, and on YouTube. Colin, you got some text for me?
I do. Some people are chiming in about the question you posed earlier about, you know, based on where we're at, 2-0, so, you know, anything, you know, 2-15,
you should probably not listen to us because you've learned nothing, obviously, if that's your prediction for the season and how it's going to go.
You don't think they're going to lose their final 15 games?
We play the Panthers at least once. Going at least 3-14.
That's a good point.
At the very least. And we play the Giants as well, but the Panthers, come on. Like, free space on bingo is if there ever was one.
I am looking forward to talking to Greg Ullman in the final hour because it's like, it feels like whichever NFC South team loses to the Panthers is who's going to lose the division.
Do you think there will be one?
I have to imagine someone's going to lose.
In the South, of course. But on the Oakland Heart Talking text line, we had a couple people chime in. 10 wins this year. That seems kind of doable.
I hope so. You start 2-0. I mean, they should have won 10 games last year. That's the floor for me.
I think 10 wins this year is definitely the floor based on what the next person says, saying, Jeff, not being a homer, I really think the Saints will win these next three games. Philly and Atlanta were subpar Monday night, and with Pacheco being out, I think we can beat the Chiefs. The only thing I'm concerned about, though, is playing the refs Monday night in Arrow.
TJ Houshmandzadeh agrees with you. I don't know if anyone knows who TJ Houshmandzadeh is, but he was very critical of the refs because he's a Bengals guy. But no, I mean, here's the thing. Like, as great as things seem right now, you really, really want to win this Eagles game. Like, this Eagles game is important because then you're going to go to Atlanta. That's not going to be an easy game. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium out there, you know, obviously it's a divisional game. That's not a bad Eagles team. I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins. I haven't been. That's a whole other issue. Dude can't move to save his life. But, like, if you can win one of these two games, get out of there at 3-1, you feel really good. If you're 4-0, you feel even better. But that stretch after the Falcons, you're talking about Monday night in Kansas City. Then on a short week, you face the Bucks, and then on another short week, you face the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. And so, like, those are, from a schedule loss perspective, that's tough. So if you really need to take advantage of this, and you're playing with house money a little bit, because I don't think a lot of people expected you to go beat the Cowboys. But, man, we'll see how it goes. But, all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. This is WWL. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. Keep it locked on the Big 870. And we're back here on Sports Talk. Sorry, I just had to listen to the music there for a second. I'm Jeff Nowak. Cullen Steele taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com, the Odyssey app, and on YouTube. Cullen, you got some texts for me?
I do. Some people are chiming in about the question you posed earlier about, you know, based on where we're at, 2-0, so, you know, anything, you know, 2-15, you should probably not listen to us because you've learned nothing, obviously, if that's your prediction for the season and how it's going to go.
You don't think they're going to lose their final 15 games?
We play the Panthers at least once. We're going at least 3-14.
That's a good point.
At the very least. And we play the Giants as well, but the Panthers, come on. Like, free space on bingo is if there ever was one.
I am looking forward to talking to Greg Ullman in the final hour because it's like, it feels like whichever NFC South team loses to the Panthers is who's going to lose the division.
Do you think there will be one?
I have to imagine someone's going to lose.
In the South, of course. But on the Oakland Heart Talking text line, we had a couple people chime in. 10 wins this year. That seems kind of doable.
I hope so. You start 2-0. I mean, they should have won 10 games last year. That's the floor for me.
I think 10 wins this year is definitely the floor based on what the next person says, saying, Jeff, not being a homer, I really think the Saints will win these next three games. Philly and Atlanta were subpar Monday night, and with Pacheco being out, I think we can beat the Chiefs. The only thing I'm concerned about, though, is playing the refs Monday night in Arrow.
TJ Houshmandzadeh agrees with you. I don't know if anyone knows who TJ Houshmandzadeh is, but he was very critical of the refs because he's a Bengals guy. But no, I mean, here's the thing. Like, as great as things seem right now, you really, really want to win this Eagles game. Like, this Eagles game is important because then you're going to go to Atlanta. That's not going to be an easy game. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium out there, you know, obviously it's a divisional game. That's not a bad Eagles team. I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins. I haven't been. That's a whole other issue. Dude can't move to save his life. But, like, if you can win one of these two games, get out of there at 3-1, you feel really good. If you're 4-0, you feel even better. But that stretch after the Falcons, you're talking about Monday night in Kansas City. Then on a short week, you face the Bucks, and then on another short week, you face the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. And so, like, those are, from a schedule loss perspective, that's tough. So if you really need to take advantage of this, and you're playing with house money a little bit, because I don't think a lot of people expected you to go beat the Cowboys. But, man, we'll see how it goes. But, all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. This is WWL. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. Keep it locked on the Big 870.